This episode of the Inner Hole Uprising is sponsored by Native and Dipsy.
Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
Akua, one sexually fluid mental health professional.
What are your pronouns?
She and her.
Nice.
And me, Rob, one pansexual, agender feminist with a fatty. Pronouns they, them, and daddy.
Every episode of Inner Hole Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host will be talking about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we'll be hitting you with interviews with insightful folks. This episode, we're talking about the importance of a solo vacation, dealing with the stigma of an HSV2 or genital herpes diagnosis, cocktails and coffee dates, and finally we answer the age-old question, how much are you motherfuckers really paying for dates? $0.
If you'd like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Hole Uprising so we can see it, and the hashtag pod in so other people can see it.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hole Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hole Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group at Inner Hole Uprising Community with a cum.
C-U-M.
Because we out here coming. Head to innerholeuprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, pay a hoe, or check out merchandise.
And if you want a place to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or the other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to. So to book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. And now we're going to talk about our hoes of the week this week. And our first hoe is...
Caroline.
Wow, that was not...
I love how y'all are on the same wavelength.
We're the same person.
Just outcast. just all know the song.
Caroline interviewed me for a piece for Elite Daily, which is a lifestyle magazine.
So what was the article about?
It was about, should you give them a second chance after ghosting you?
Well, I read the article. It was really, really insightful. Thank you, Akua.
Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline, for writing it. Mm-hmm. If you want to read Caroline's article, you can find it in the show notes. And because we give all of our Hoes of the Week nicknames, Caroline will be given a nickname. What is it, Akua?
It's Kakalaki.
What?
Because you know North,
North
Kakalaki?
North Carolina, throw your hands up, take your shirt off.
I didn't say all of that.
Like a helicopter. I did that the other day too at work. I don't remember what that
I
was.
I think that you should never do that
Shout
again.
Out to Petey Pobs.
Yeah.
And then he did one that said New York City after 9/11.
New York City, go and raise it. Did we take our shirts off?
We absolutely
take
did not.
Take your fitted off?
Yes, take your Tim off.
Just one Tim. Imagine twisting a Tim around your head like a helicopter.
Literally the best idea I've ever seen in my head in my
you just
life.
Make it nunchucks.
That seems like a fighting stance.
That's
like
violent as fuck, bro.
It could be Tim
Kakalaki. Okay. We hope you enjoy your nickname, because that was ridiculous. Also, shout out to Kaylee, who became a patron, and Carla, who became a patron. They both became patrons very close to each other. And I don't know if you all know each other, but there's some sort of synergy here with the K names. And I love 90 Day Fiance. So Kaylee is K1 Visa. And Carla is K2 Visa. We also have who we just stand for on Instagram, but we're going to stand again. We have Golden Ambre. Who
a beautiful headless, because we couldn't see the head.
Yes, we could not see
the head. But a beautiful headless body came across our being, and it just the shape and the color and the softness, but also the tightness of the skin. I mean, it was
supple, one might say.
Supple.
We are talking about Instagram user Golden Ambre, who also is a, I think, new fan of Inner Hole Uprising. And they blessed us with some Inner Hole Uprising merchandise / lewd content on their Instagram, wearing an Inner Hole Uprising crop. That was they made that crop, by the way. That is not the crop that we sell.
No.
I love when you guys do that. Customize to your heart's desire and put an Inner Hole Uprising sticker on their ass. And that's the way that this merchandise deserves to be used.
Yes.
So because of this, Golden Ambry, we are calling you the body.
The body. Ambry, the body.
10, 10, 10, 10. Tens across the fucking board. Across the board. Yeah, thank you, Golden Ambry. There's more hoes. So we also have our Monday Night Livers. And if you don't know what Monday Night Live is, it's a bi-weekly live show that I do for our patrons on Patreon, specifically our $5 and up patrons. This past week, we spoke about love drugs or psychoactive drugs that can be used in couples therapy to increase feelings of transparency and intimacy. And it was really, really fun. And we talked about like the 80s and doing a lot of drugs and things like that. We like got on topic and then off topic. And we talked about like fucking Arizona State University stealing Native American samples. It was the like tangents. A lot of stuff was going on. It's a really fun time, though. So shout out to this week's Monday Night Livers. We have, as previously mentioned, Tawiwi and Martini, who be there all the time. Special shout out to Tawiwi and Martini. Then we have Mel Lady, who is now Malini. And we have Erlene, who is obviously...
Erlene.
Yes, yes.
You're so creative.
Oh, thank you. Child. I'm just putting Eni at the end. So creative. To join our next Monday Night Live, you can head over to our Patreon page and pledge $5 a month for our Voyeur tier, and we can kick it. If you do that, you will also be invited to our private IHU group chat on Slack, where you get to talk shit about reality TV and white people and other fun things that we talk about up in there. And if you would like to be a hoe of the week and get a cool nickname, here are some additional things that you can do. You can donate to us on PayPal at paypal.me/innerhoe. You can become a patron on patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. You can shout us out in an article you've written or on social media. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or purchase some merchandise at innerhoeuprising.com/merchandise. The links to all of which are in the show notes. And now we have a self-care tip of the week.
Yes, we do. There is this woman. Her IG is DanielleG_19. And they posted a series of stories that revolved around a vacation that they took alone. She wore makeup and lingerie and took like a rose petal bath, and then like randomly went ziplining, randomly went hiking all by herself. Like, well, not the ziplining and hiking. Oh, the thing, the hiking, she did go by herself. Ziplining, of course, with other people. But it was like all very random, like kind of like an unplanned vacation.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, this is what I really needed to see, because the gist of it was her reconnecting with herself and doing the things that she would want to do with another partner, but not waiting for a partner to be with her to do these things. So she decided to take this vacation. At first, it was like she was going to read all these like self-help books and stuff, like focusing on like trauma and exes. And she's like, why would I do that to myself?
That don't sound fun.
I
want to relax.
Like, you know, I can understand the concept of that. And that could be another thing that you do. But her purpose was to relax, and reading self-help and going through trauma is absolutely not relaxing. Mm-hmm. So she like really tried to relax by listening to like the R&B that she really liked, using rose essential oils, taking a rose petal bath, hugging herself, writing love notes to herself, writing and reading her manifestation book. Her tips were, don't overthink it, don't overplan, go with the flow, and your body and mind will lead you to what it needs and desires. Make time to show yourself love in private, even if it feels awkward or uncomfortable at first, and even if people make fun of you. So reading that inspired me for this next self-care tip. So what I'm doing is writing down all of the ways that my exes have made me feel good. So what were the things that my exes did that made me so drawn to them, to the point where I'd lose everything to stay with them? Like, what were these intoxicating moments? Was it because they made me feel good physically? Was it because of the things that they told me? Was it because of security? Was it because of the promise of a future? Like, what were these things? Writing these things down, so actually visibly seeing them and facing them, being realistic about it, and then also developing ways to do those things for myself. Mm-hmm. That's a way that you can care about you in the absence of anybody else. And really get to know yourself.
Thank you, Rob. I fuck with the vision. Shout out to Danielle G. We're going to move on to some events that we have to plug.
Pod in Live NYC. That's April 18th, my nakers. Pod in Live NYC is returning. It is the largest Black podcasters meetup in the observable universe. And the observable universe is actually very fucking large. So that's how big this fucking meetup is.
It's quite massive.
It will be held in New York City on Saturday, April 18th, 2020, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. So we don't have a link yet, but save the date. Trust me, it is a great fucking time. You really don't want to miss it.
It's a great time. And that is available for people who are podcasters, people who love podcasts, and people who just want to network with other podcasters in a safe communal ass space.
Yes.
First of its kind, people.
Yes.
First and biggest.
Biggest.
Shout out to our friends, Steve with Queen and Jay, for doing that every fucking year.
Yes.
Yeah. Next up, Dal Ass Text Ass. You're coming for that ass.
Yes.
Wow. Bars.
Why do you like this?
Because niggas got bars. Friday, July 24th, 2020 to Sunday, July 26th, 2020, we will be at Poly Dallas Millennium, a 3-day symposium that provides a sex positive space for those seeking knowledge about ethical non-monogamy, who have questions about ethical non-monogamy, or are experienced with ethical non-monogamy. It is Black, it is POC filled, it is queer, it is trans, it is non-binary, it is lit. And the link to the symposium tickets will be in the show notes.
Last but not least, New York City's steamiest, silliest, sexiest, yes, smartest trivia night will be returning in the spring. Be on the lookout for more details. Us hoes will keep you updated. And to be the first to know, you can sign up for email updates on our website at inahouprising.com. The link will be in the show notes.
Yee. Now we're going to go into the actual show with our first segment, which is called
Fuck That.
And this is our current events segment. And today we are talking about how much you niggas be spending on dates. However, we are going to do it in the form of a quiz in honor of sex trivia. And the contestants are you guys. There have been some findings about when it comes to how much Americans are truly spending on dates. Because if you leave it to Twitter, we spend $200 every time. Are we truly doing that?
No, absolutely find out.
So I'm weak. Absolutely not. Definitively, no. A resounding no.
No.
So the loan company LendingTree has conducted a small-scale study of how much Americans of different generations and genders, unfortunately it is a binary study, spend on dates. LendingTree commissioned Qualtrics to conduct an online survey of 1,281 Americans with the sample base proportion to represent the overall population. And the survey was fielded from January 2nd to January 10th, 2020. This is a quiz. Rob and Koo are competing.
Okay.
What does the winner get? Because I didn't come up with the prize. D's nuts?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm ready.
You have a banana?
I have many bananas.
All right. The prize is a banana. Okay. Also, the loser also gets a banana.
Everybody wins in this version of Family Feud. Okay. The first question is, how much money does the average American spend on a first date? And I'll take whoever is in the ballpark.
$60.
Cool. It says $60. What does Rob say?
I was going to say $65.
Is this the Price is Right? Are you that person? Yes. You have that.
Get out of my brain.
Okay, drum roll, please. The average American spends $77 on a first date.
All right, so that's one, nigga. The fuck? That's crazy. Yeah. I was going to say 75, and I was like, no way. Mm. I don't know why my brain went to 75, but I was like, nah, niggas don't really be doing that. These fucking nakers.
You broke nakers? How much do you guys spend on first dates?
I don't. Nah, it's usually when I take women
I was going to say, it's when if I take women out, I don't pay for these niggas.
I am not spending nothing on none of these niggas, man.
And I ball out. I don't I just be simping. Yeah. We just be getting shot. We'll just drink. I'm always here to show a good time.
Okay, Akua.
The last woman that I dated, our first date, we ended up splitting it. But I was trying to pay for the whole thing. It was like $90 for a while.
She was like, here's my card. Here's my card.
Like, come on. I'm like, all right. I think it's rude to like fight somebody because it's like, if you want to split it, like I'm.
Yeah. I think it's rude, but it's weird.
I insisted, but like to be like, no, I got it. Like, okay. Yeah. It's like, bitch, who the fuck are you?
Gotta smack the card out. Like,
throw that shit down the block. And then while she's chasing it, I pay it. It's like, nah, if you want to spend your money, like I'm not going to argue with you. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, I've never, a woman or a man, have spent any money on a first date. No. There was that time with this nigga recently who fucking made me split Jiukaku, which was egregious. And that was like, it was like a $100 bill, so it was like $50. Mm-hmm. How much do you expect to be spent on a first date, though?
50 max, personally.
I agree with that.
I think more than 50.
Well, I guess it depends on the kind of date, but if it's a date where we actually are spending money, then
yeah.
I'm still at my 60. That is my that's it.
That's Akua's general number. All right.
$60.
Cool. 1 point to Rob.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Annually, how much did the average American spend on dates overall?
Per year.
Nigga.
If on average is 75.
But trying to do math.
That's my calculation. Fucking
dates in general.
Yeah.
$865.
The preciseness is quite amusing.
I was gonna say, let's say $1,500.
This nigga who is a baller, son. Americans, you're both ballers actually. Americans spend, drum roll please, nearly $700 on dates annually.
So I get that too.
You do get that.
God, we out here. Honestly, my brain thought $1,200, and I was like, nah. Okay.
But if you think like $100 a date, and you do a date a month.
Yeah.
I get that, but these also, niggas is not.
They're not. Dating,
I was thinking
not
multiple
like
dates a month.
That I feel
you
like,
know, you, and that's why this number kind of didn't make sense to me because like I've never kept. Don't spend much on dates, but I've never calculated how much like I've spent in an entire year on dates, but 700 does seem low if you're thinking about going on multiple dates.
But I guess
at
it's
least
like
a month.
I guess it's also like
split between
how many dates are you going, because your first date you wall
it's
out
a ball out date, but it's
every
not
other
always
date
a
is
ball
an OD
out date. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
Also I think that somebody that you are more inclined to like see more religiously,
then you start splitting.
No, that you would spend more as opposed to somebody that you're not trying to see religiously because, you know, niggas be trying to inflate that ego.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, the men that I've dated who spent the most money on me were men that I ended up being with. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, like, a guy that I was just, like, about to
have
sex with.
Oh, so you spend more money on people who you really like and those are
who
you're
invested on.
Yes.
We also had this provided a gender breakdown on annual date spending. And for women, it was about $500, $499.96. And for men, it was close to what Rob said, $861.29.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because I said that for a woman. I'm lying. I definitely spent money on niggas. Who the fuck am I kidding? I could be
on
honest
a first
on
date,
this one.
Though? I mean,
yeah.
Later. Oh, okay.
Even on a first
you
date.
You simp. No,
even if it wasn't on purpose. Who called me a... Oh, wow. Anyway, I'm going to continue with my story, bitch. my last boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Our first date was me going to see him in D.C. Mm-hmm. I paid for everything but the Airbnb.
So was that equivalent to the amount of the Airbnb, though?
No, absolutely not. I pay for the food. I pay for the Ubers. I pay for the drinks. So, yeah, that was our first date. Yeah, I take men on a lot of dates, and I tend to spend an egregious amount of money.
Mm.
So I think I'm closer to that 800 cap.
Mm.
But however,
you're a real nigga.
I don't care.
I start dating Rob.
You don't have like, I'm trying to date both of you. This bitch Akua is out here talking about 1.5K, nigga.
As I said, like, I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, if like you're going on a date to have a good time with somebody who you like. So, yeah, having a good time sometimes costs money.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's always budgeted for. If I know I don't got it, we ain't going nowhere.
We have a question about that a bit later.
Ooh, okay, I'm ready.
Shall we move on?
Yes,
oh,
we
this
shall.
Is actually.
It's right there?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. What percentage of Americans have borrowed money for a date?
Ooh.
15%.
Of Americans borrowed money. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm going to say borrowed money for dates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
20%.
Mm. And the real answer actually is that 15% of respondents on the nose, Akua. Now I have a question for you all. Would you lend somebody money to go on a date?
No. Absolutely not.
Akua?
I'm thinking. Definitely not no nigga. But
oh, hell the fuck
definitely
no.
Definitely not no nigga.
Hell
but
no.
I feel like I'd slip a front of 20, girl, just in case you got to call a lift. Like, just like.
Yeah, I would not lend anybody money to spend on somebody else.
Mm.
And that's just like a personal thing. I'd lend you money to spend on yourself. Like, if you're like, yo, I'm about to do this thing, like, can you lend me some money to get my nails done?
Yeah. Or like, I need a really done? Cute outfit for this day. I'm like, oh, let's go.
That's okay. Yes.
But, that counts.
But
that
if
counts,
you
I
want
think.
Money to spend on especially a naker, absolutely. A naker. Not.
No.
You better pocket my money. You better act like you're giving it to somebody else. You better pocket my shit and spend that shit on yourself.
That's so funny. I'm inclined to say no. But also, if you're someone who holds a very special place in my heart, then I probably would lend you money for like anything. So
I'm gonna keep that noted.
Nope.
just in the back of my head.
Nope. Now it changes. Okay, next question. So we have 2-1, Rob to Akua. Which generation is willing to spend the least amount of money on dating? So for the purposes of this survey, generations are defined by the following ages in 2020. So we have Generation Z, ages 18 to 23, Millennials, ages 24 to 39, Generation X, ages 40 to 54, Baby Boomers, ages 55 to 74, and the Silent Generation, ages 75 and up.
Now, I'm thinking the Silent Generation because, like, I feel like their generation has a big, like, courting history. But now at 75 and in American society, have to pick, you know, between the prescriptions or taking you out,
uh-huh.
You know. But then I am inclined to say Generation Z because the kids be creative.
Cheap.
They be cheap, maybe creative.
Okay.
Like $2 slice of pizzas and walk around the city and we all got for life. So I don't know.
Nah, it's Generation Z, bro.
I'll go with Generation Z as well.
Okay, so.
We're both wrong.
I don't know because now we have to, so hold that. Now we have to do most because if I give one away, then that narrows down your answer. So uh-huh. Which generation is willing to spend the most on dates?
Them baby boomers.
Generation X.
So your least answers both were Generation Z?
Yes. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. You both get points. Please start keeping track of the points because I'm getting confused now.
It is 3-2.
Okay, so Generation Z spends $365 a year on dating.
That's and a like, dollar that's, a day.
Good for them. They're just taking niggas kids. Out for ice cream, man. That's all they're doing.
So you want a dollar
slices,
fries.
Yeah. Okay.
I have 10 cents for the tax for that dollar fry.
Love it.
And the generation who spends the most is, with a whopping $902.50, is Generation X.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah.
4-2.
4-2. Okay.
All right, we out here.
And now for a little bit of fun. How much money would... Okay, which generation spends the... This is just a combined answer. Which generation spends the least amount of money on a first date? And which generation spends the most amount of money on a first date?
Least. Generation Z. Because apparently they're doing a dollar a day.
Okay.
They are here. And the most on a first date? Millennials. Why not?
Okay.
I think millennials...
For the least.
Probably spend the least because you seen all them damn tweets like, oh, you call this a date?
Okay.
And the most. I'm going to go back with Generation X spending the most on the first date.
Okay. So the generation who spends the least amount of money on a first date is actually baby boomers.
Damn.
It's $58 a date.
All that fucking retirement pension money.
They just go to the movies.
They go to a morning matinee, bitch. A morning matinee.
And they grab some lunch.
With the senior discount?
That is so nigga. Fucking funny.
They are not all senior, son. It's a good chunk of 50-year-olds up in there.
Wait, in the
there's
in
a
the
good
silent
chunk
generation?
Well, I'm putting you in the seniors.
I'm circling you a fucking senior when you're 55.
Yeah. Yo, AAA starts hitting you up at like 55.
That's what I'm saying. They just
you're
be like,
you
ready.
You're a senior citizen when you are 65 years old. You're not going to shave 10 years off of my distinction up in here. Yeah, baby boomers least with $58. And the most, contrary to Rob's popular belief, is actually millennials with $83 on the first date.
Wow.
Generation X was followed shortly thereafter with $82. And Generation Z, a little bit less, with $72.
Who'd you have?
I said millennials. Amenities.
All right.
Did anybody get it right?
We're 4-3, yes.
Okay, 4-3. Great, great. And for the last of the questions, this is worth 3 points, because why the fuck not?
Okay.
This one, you have to speak and answer. So, if you were asked on a date but were low on cash, what would you do? And if your answer aligns with the most respondents, then you get the 3 points.
Damn.
Is this a first date?
Just a date.
Just a date.
If you were asked on a date but were low on cash, what would you do?
If I was asked on a date,
mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd go. I'd pay it for nothing.
Okay.
If I was asked on a date and low on cash, I would go and bring a credit card.
Go and bring a credit card.
Just in case they can't cover it and then have to pay that back later.
Okay. How about you, Rob?
If I were to go on a date, but I was low on cash, only because I wouldn't know the intention of the person I'm going out on a date with, whether mm-hmm. or not they'd actually pay for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would choose something that if I'm low on cash, I can cover. Mm-hmm. So it would either be the museum or the movies.
Okay.
I would say museum specifically if you were to live in New York City, because that your fucking ID is sugar free.
Yeah.
But if this is across America, mm-hmm. I don't think all museums are like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the fucking movies.
Okay. Your answer is not there.
Wow, fuck y'all niggas, bro.
But I want to give you a second chance because this is you being asked on a date. So you cannot define the rules of the date here. You've been asked.
I would let the person I was going out on a date with know that I was low on cash.
Mm-mm-mm.
I know that people wouldn't do that. I don't know why I said that. That's
but
what
Rob
I would
very,
do.
Rob is a very honest person.
We're,
like,
we're talking about the world,
the
population of America. Mm-hmm. So the population of America would go on the date and not take out their card to pay.
Shoot.
Just guessing here. So, shooting in the dark.
Interestingly enough, the answers are closed. The answer that 50% of, I believe that's men, and 48% of women answered was that they would go on the date and explain the situation to their date.
Oh, so
you were right
I was
at
right.
first, but then you changed the answer, nigga.
No,
wait,
did
no.
I didn't.
No, then you said you would go and not take out your card. So you actually you aligned with the least answered,
wow.
which was accept the date and hope the other person pays.
Wow.
That was 12% of...
But I got both of them.
You had two things in there. You had two things in there.
That was 50%.
And then Akua, you had accept the date and use my credit card, which was the second most responded. So,
well, no, I meant bring my credit card in case they couldn't pay. Cause
so you were also accept the date and hope the other person
pays?
Yeah,
hope the other person pays, but have backup in case. Cause I'm not washing no dishes. That's it.
Okay. I mean, the fact that you said credit card to me aligned with the credit card.
It was wrong.
Okay, well, then you're both wrong. Sorry. What were the scores again? I was trying to help
everybody out. I
still won,
and I would like my
four
banana.
4-3.
4-3.
Rob won.
And you all at home, how did you do on the quiz, on the date family feud?
Let us know.
Hope you did better than us. Even though we had some logical ass answers.
I think those were all very adult answers of all of you. Sometimes if I'm on a good date with a man and I'm like, okay, like I think about going Dutch and then I just don't even try. Don't even reach for the card.
I don't even look at the bill.
I don't look at the bill
it's
either.
It's placed at the table.
Yeah, I just keep talking. I actually just keep talking.
The conversation keeps going. You do it what you want to.
I snatch the bill.
And you say thank you to the waiter.
Yes.
I'm dead.
I say thank you to the waiter and just continue talking.
So anyway, when I was in college.
It was my time at band camp. I snatch the bill sometimes. Not snatch like violently, but I'll pick the bill up to look first. And then I'll decide whether or not I let the other person pay for it. Like,
that bill
50%.
Is none of my business.
Like, sometimes
me out.
It's
above me.
But sometimes I'll be wilding. Sometimes I'll be wilding.
Like, how much you order?
Yeah, because okay. I know that I personally can cover whatever I buy.
I feel like if I go on a date, I match your energy. So, like, I'm going to order whatever I want because I'm hungry and I like it. Mm-hmm. But, like, do I need that second glass of wine if you haven't had a second glass of wine?
Absolutely.
You know?
Moisten my palate.
I'd like to take a moment to drop some science on you all. So apparently, conventional deodorants contain aluminum, which form a plug in your sweat glands to keep you from sweating. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yuck.
Yes, very yucky. Luckily, native deodorant is made without aluminum, so you can feel better about what you're putting on your body, and you can also smell better, so that's pretty dope. Native deodorant is formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc. It is vegan and never tested on animals. Making the switch to an aluminum-free deodorant does not mean you have to sacrifice on performance. Native will keep you smelling and feeling fresh all day long. And if pairing deodorant to your gender is your jam, Native comes in a wide variety of options, typically geared to masculine and feminine folks. And they also have an unscented option and a baking soda-free formula for those who would rather smell of nothing and people who are sensitive to baking soda. With over 10 scents, including their classic and rotating seasonals, you're guaranteed to find one that you love. Their classic scents include coconut and vanilla, which is their most popular, lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and eucalyptus and mint. Akua, you tried which one now?
Well, lavender and rose was my jam.
That should be hitting, man.
But then they sent me eucalyptus and mint.
I've been using that one. And I love it.
I remember last time I talked, Dave, my son, who also uses Native.
He was a funky, funky boy.
He was, but he also wanted a boy-smelling scent. Well, gender.
A masculine scent.
Yeah, he wanted a masculine scent. So when we got the eucalyptus mint, I was like, all right, here we go. And the thing about eucalyptus, and when I've had in other products, is that it's strong. Like, mm-hmm. It hits you, but not this one. Yeah. It was like blended.
It's
so
pleasant.
Well.
It's so pleasant.
I was like, ooh.
At first, I was a little scared. I was like, Like, I'm still, like, within the binary, as we all are, indoctrinated. Mm-hmm. I was like, is this a man smell? Mm-hmm. When I first smelled it. But, like, when it's on my body, it just feels like I'm a fresh-ass bitch up in here.
Even so when I first... So
I'm outcast, nigga, both of them.
Even when I first smelled it, I was like, oh, this isn't as strong as I thought it would be. Like, it was. Yeah. It's paired well, and it's so subtle, and it's lovely.
Also, it feels good on your skin, right? Like, you would usually you would think a minty thing would, like, sting a little bit.
Well, like, or tingle?
Yeah, it just feels good. It just feels good.
I think I might be switching over.
Okay.
From my lavender and rose, and that was my
jam. We have a convert. Well, luckily, Native also gives you the option of having fresh breath with another all-natural product, and that is Native toothpaste. Ooh. Native is offering two minty flavors with the option of fluoride or fluoride-free, and that will help keep your mouth squeaky clean. Whitening wild mint and peppermint oil, fluoride and fluoride free, and detoxifying charcoal with mint, both fluoride and fluoride free. It whitens teeth, freshens breath, is enamel safe, and its fluoride versions prevent cavities. Plus, it's made without triclosan, sulfates, artificial preservatives, or parabens, basically the not good stuff. For 20% off your first purchase, you can visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code IHU during checkout. Once again, for 20% off your first purchase, you can visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code I as in inner, H as in ho, and U as in uprising. That's promo code IHU at checkout. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She loves a party on the weekend. She loves a party on the weekend. Into our next segment, which is called
Fuck Me.
It is the segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. So, as you know, if you've listened to the show, and as you don't know, which I'm about to explain to you, there is something called the Samantha Got Her Groove Back Challenge. Do not call me Samantha. It is just for the purposes of this segment.
Or unless this your name is the segment.
This is the segment in which I go on one date every week and report back to you how it is. Last season, I gave you cute dates. This season, you give me some control where I go on these dates. Let's get my groove back together. So, before I talk, we have a cute date suggestion from Liz. And Liz says, go on a coffee shop crawl where you and your date go around to different coffee shops and compare drinks and ambiance. Try hitting up three in a day or make it a long-term thing where you go on one every weekend in a month. Stay amazing. Liz, I actually think that is extremely cute.
Yes.
And I'm somebody who's adverse to coffee dates where it's just one and we're sitting and we're drinking coffee because
it's weird.
That's not what that's like not how I consume coffee. Like, no. It's to wake me up and that's it. So just to like sit next to you and drink coffee. I'm not doing a tea either. I also don't want to do it with drinks either. But it makes more sense because you're getting drunk.
Yeah.
But this
<That's> the, <end state.
laughs> the coffee shop crawl I do like.
I think it's very cute. And I think that building routine mm-hmm. with somebody that you really like is very nice because you always have a fallback.
Yeah. Like, you're okay, creating cool. some sort of bonding experience.
Exactly.
Together.
It's very experiential intimacy, you know, doing things.
There's that mental health shit I've been waiting for.
Doing things together creates the intimacy because then you'll walk into that coffee shop and be like, oh, I went there with so-and-so. My first time here was with so-and-so. My first time trying nitro cold brew was with so-and-so. And you'll always have that attached. I read this and said, nigga, what? But I don't drink coffee, so I guess coffee, that's what I'm missing. Honest.
Coffee the only bad thing about this is that once I smell coffee, I shit.
Also.
So.
And I think that because...
And I don't like to shit around people I'm interested in.
And I got the shit. There's
other
not...
things to drink in coffee shops besides coffee, niggas.
Mm.
I don't drink...
Let's get the hibiscus
tea. The herbal teas, no. But I would do a hot chocolate date.
You that works too.
Shrugged off herbal tea?
This nigga is fucking wild.
Get out of this house.
The one good thing about that too is that if you develop like one of those kinds of consistent dates on like a weekly basis, like, okay, cool, I know I'm always free at this time on this day, then you also have something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like bare minimum, if I can't see you or really talk to you for the whole week on this day,
Saturday morning,
I do know
a.m.
that bare minimally I'll see together. You. It's mad cute. My parents are like that. They go on dates every Friday to this restaurant they've been going to for the past 20 years. They've just recently, like, maybe over the past 6 or 7 years, I've started going with them. But now I go with... Who's making that sound? You sound like a puppy. Oh my God. You sound like my dog when I don't pet him.
That's how I feel. I wish I was loved.
I go with my parents but it's like on Fridays, like let's say I don't talk to them for the week. So sometimes I don't, or I don't see them. I know that on Friday, if I'm off in time, I can go to dinner and hang out with them. So please stop. My dog is probably doing that right now. But yeah, good shit.
That is so good.
Wow, Liz.
You touched a nerve.
You touched mad nerve,
that's
son.
The thing.
I'm tingled on the inside, nigga.
Wow.
Not like that.
I mean, it just sounded cool. I didn't think of it sexually.
Oh, okay. Thought. I mean, it's a sex show.
Give me lit.
Bitch, I'm a thot.
Give me lit.
Get me lit off this coffee. All right, well, this past week's date, I went to a cocktail making class and got Filipino food. That was fun. And then last night, I went to a scent release party. Which is something that I didn't know existed. It was for a perfume company. Mm-hmm. And somebody who I've seen on a couple of dates now said that his friend's company was throwing this event. And I was at a different event and it was around the corner. I'm like, yeah, why not? I'm around the corner, nigga. Mm-hmm. So they had the scents at a table and they had like this weird like green plant type shit. And there was like a whole bunch of people who were clearly high on Molly and dancing and free booze.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's what it was.
It's a very interesting concoction of events.
It's very New York.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very young New York.
Yeah.
Millennial New York.
Honestly, I was seeing some people who I was like, you're a TikToker. Like, you guys look like...
Younger people?
They looked like early 20s.
So
like 24-ish.
There were influencers there.
They looked like they were influencers. I didn't recognize any of them, but they looked and dressed and walked. Like, there was one person who was walking to the bathroom and like they walked like it was a fucking runway. And I'm like, you're going to the bathroom.
But also, okay.
Yeah. But that was kind of fun though, because I got to like people watch for the person I was with and we made fun of people. And all of his friends were there, which is cool. I didn't have an issue with that. But then at some point they all started dancing and like, I don't want to dance. And he was like, why aren't you dancing? And I'm like, I don't fucking want to. I was like, am I weird for that? And then I didn't care anymore. And then the music stopped and I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, thank you.
When you said scent release, I just thought of like some hippy dippy thing where they just like started like releasing scents, like waving things.
That would be really
like
weird.
A perfume
I would go to that too.
Debut or something. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds very cool, actually.
Thanks, Rob.
Makes me think of
and the cocktail class.
Yeah.
That shit sounds so cool. It sounds
that
so
was
cool.
Really fun. Mm-hmm. I made a cocktail with an egg in it and I didn't even
I saw
know that,
that
was a thing.
Yo,
I purposely made that.
Wait, no, remember we had those whiskey sours with the egg white,
oh,
the foamy ones.
They did say
and
that.
And that was the only one I've ever had in my life. Oh. So when I saw that, I was like, Sam is learning the way. So we don't have to order that. That shit was like $16.
I didn't make a whiskey sour though.
I don't give a fuck. It was foamy. Egg whites are foamy as shit.
Yeah, it was good. I made something called a cocktail club.
What was it made with?
Gin, egg whites. Yes, I do love gin.
Did you get to choose like what kind of cocktails you wanted to make?
Yeah, so the person who does the class is a wine sommelier and also a whole bunch of other shit. So he showed us how to make like 6 different drinks and he was just like, pick 2 and you get to make the drink. So I made that and I made a lychee mojito, which was really fucking good too.
Did you get kind of drunk?
Yeah, I did. Because he also, we were drinking the whole time. Everything that he was making, we were drinking, and then he made us shots twice.
Yeah.
Like, he made, like, all these, like, concoction-y shots. That was cool. That was really fun. I would suggest people do that.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'll write that down. Yeah. Might do that alone.
You should. There might be a lot of white people, though.
I will not do that alone.
Sorry.
Changed my mind.
Yeah.
I wish white people like occupy the thing. Really fun spaces sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
Like, it's like, wow, this is amazing, except all of the people that I'm surrounded by.
Yeah, they weren't like annoying white people, but though. Still, I mean, all white people are annoying.
Yeah, just the mere existence.
It got like smaller in the space after this group came in, and like we were sitting alone, and then this white couple came to sit across from us, and I was just like, oh, fuck, man. Fucking shit. Like, I was really pissed off.
Can't fucking escape.
And then they were like, oh, what are you guys doing after this? And I'm like, not having an orgy with you sick freaks. No,
oh
I'm
my god.
They were just like asking, like making conversation, and we were like, oh, we're going to this Filipino restaurant. And they were like, what's it called? And I was like, oh, it's this. And they were like, oh, we love that restaurant. And they like was disgusted. They suggested us what to order, and it was good. So thank you.
So we don't hate you.
Just thank you.
Just thank you.
For that. Thank you for that one. They were like, where in Queens are you from? You're not going to gentrify my neighborhood, nigga.
Who said, I'm coming.
You're not going to gentrify.
Niggas literally had a suitcase.
Y'all want to Uber back together?
They literally went to that event to find a cool black person. They have a whole moving truck.
They're ready.
And these niggas commute in a U-Haul, son.
Yeah, because they're waiting. They're like serial gentrifiers.
Fuck. Yeah, that was fun. Onto Rob's Fuck Me.
You all know it, and if you don't know, I was documenting my sex journey with SSRIs. So as of recently, I'm no longer on SSRIs. I'm on I don't even know what the fuck this shit is called or what this shit do. I think it works with the dopamine receptors as opposed
What's
to
the name of it?
Wellbutrin.
Yes. Okay.
So it works with dopamine receptors as opposed to serotonin receptors. I think in a similar fashion, though. And then I'm also on this medicine called hydroxyzine that is used for a mild sedative, but also it helps with anxiety. So it's like a really mild Xanax almost. But Wellbutrin takes 8 weeks to kick in. I've only been on it for like a week and a half. Or maybe 2 weeks. I don't know. I have no concept of time. So it's almost like I'm on no medication. But my libido has not returned. But I am okay with that.
Nice.
Truly. I really don't. Like, I'm happy that it's not here. Because I feel like with my libido, I would make decisions with my coochie. I call them bad decisions because the dick was never hitting enough to be in the situations that I ended up in. But it was just like for the satisfaction of it. But also, I'm sure there was a lot of self-consciousness and trauma related to the people that I was dealing with. So not having a libido kind of forces me to really see people for who they are and not what they can give me, which makes me it makes me happy to not deal with them. I'm recently single, and I'm also content in that because I felt like when I got into my relationship that I needed time to be alone in America. I was alone in Kuwait, but I need to be alone in America, alone at home, alone with my family, with my job, with my home. And I was not able to do that because I was busy, you know, getting to very serious relationships very quickly. And, you know, it was a mutual thing. And now I'm back to truly focusing on myself. Like, sex was so important to me. And I mean, granted, it doesn't mean that it's not important to me. I think it's still important to me, but not in a way that I need. Mm-hmm. It's just in a way that I don't even want. It's like, if it were to happen, I hope that it is special. I hope that it is a mutual enjoyment. And I hope that if I do have sex, that I have sex with somebody who actually cares about me. Like, I think that I'm over dealing with people who don't care about me, because even if it's like I'm not trying to marry you, whatever, but having a sense of when we have sex that we can still talk. Like, yeah, niggas don't ghost me, or we just have this weird thing, or we act like we never had sex.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. That's why I don't know.
It sounds like you're decentering sex.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And I am all for decentering things in our lives.
Yeah.
Decentering alcohol, decentering sex, decentering men.
Ooh. Yeah. Wow, I did it all. Because I barely drink. That's crazy. I don't know. It's like a metamorphosis. And this year I had goals, and one of them was to grow. And I feel like the universe is forcefully providing me with opportunities to do so. Then when me and my boyfriend broke up, I was very depressed. But then I thought about it. I'm like, now it's just me. Mm. I don't have to talk to him if I don't want to. I don't have to call him. I don't have to text him.
You don't have to be responsible for someone else's emotions.
No, I don't have to be responsible for trying to keep him happy. Because that was killing me, because he wanted me to change into this person that I was not ready to be. Like, it was a good end goal, but I had to do it in my own time. So now I can do everything in my own time. I'm just, I don't know. It's like, I'm sad, but I'm happy.
Good.
And I think I'm sad because I'm so happy, because I wish that I would have put myself first a long time ago, but I'm happy that I'm still doing it now.
You're only 28.
Only 28? That sounds crazy to hear, but you're right.
You've only been an adult in the eyes of the law for 10 years.
For 10 years.
And your frontal lobe 11. Has only been developed for the past 3 years.
11, because I was I was an emancipated minor at 17.
Okay.
But still, you're right.
You've only been out here for a minute. So like the fact that you're decentering all of these things in your life and like fully getting into like your journey of becoming your actual self right now.
It's right on
time.
Like
people do that shit at 40 and they're like still doing it. That's amazing.
I feel like it's right on time.
Yeah, it feels like it's right on time. I feel like if I would have done it earlier, it wouldn't have been genuine. And if I
That's another thing. Sometimes you need to like learn what you don't know.
Yes. Because how do you know what you don't know?
Right.
And I did not know that I was able to be alone. I thought that everything I did, the end state was ending up with a person. So I'm ensuring that I'm doing all of this growing, because the growing that I'm doing are things that Leon and I have talked about, but I just wasn't able to do while I was with him. I have to get other people out of my mind as if I was the only person that I had to take care of and just make myself the most important.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome.
Now I need you to do a song with your mouth.
All right. Boom. Ba-dum.
Do you need a break? A break from your inbox? That never-ending laundry cycle? Or the exhausting amount of social media? It's time to prioritize a little me time to help you recharge. And Dipsy can help you focus on something more pleasurable than whatever is left on your to-do list. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions that are designed to turn you on and help you get in touch with yourself. The stories are relatable and immersive, so you feel like you're right there. And there's something for everyone, whoever and whatever you're into. They add new content every week, so there's always more to explore. Find stories about a spontaneous hookup with a hot stranger, getting closer with that sexy yoga instructor that you can't stop thinking about, or even stories about trying that new toy together or getting tied up. The guided sessions can also help you unlock new confidence or heighten intimacy with your partner. This year, try a new way of getting turned on with Dipsy. For the listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/IHU. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to DIPSEA stories.com /IHU. DipsyStories.com/IHU.
Play us out, Rob.
How does it feel? Yeah. Have it your way. Have it both. You can accept us.
All right. Is your sex toy collection looking a little dry? We've got the goodie bag to get the juices flowing. Your favorite queer black feminist podcasters, Inner Hoe Uprising, are teaming up with sex toy boutique Babeland Toys to give away a sexy goodie bag, aka a hoe bag, to one lucky winner. How do I win, you might be asking? Well, you can head over to innerhoeuprising.com and sign up for our weekly newsletter or click the link in our show notes. That's it. You're actually winning twice because the newsletter is a goodie bag in and of itself, and it's filled with sex positive content from four black baddies and tips with tips and tricks on how to have a fulfilling, shame-free sex life. Entrants must be 18 and older to play. Sorry to the youth dem. The winner will be selected from a list of entrants at random. When the winner is chosen, they'll be asked to verify their age by Inner Hoe Uprising before the prize is shipped. Now, let's get into our next segment, and this segment is called Fuck You, and it is the segment about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, you can send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com, and please include your pronouns. Also, because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail. We will play it and respond to it on the show, so you can drop us a line there at 404-491-9158. We do have a voicemail in the bag, and we'll be reading that when Rodecca's back on the show. Yes, we'll be reading that soon.
Let's get it.
So today's letter is from Liz, and the subject line is HSV2 hopelessness. Liz's pronouns are she and her, and she writes, "Dearest hoes of IHU, firstly, thank you for having this podcast. I'm a longtime listener, and I love listening. I'm a 23-year-old black woman currently living in California. I was recently diagnosed with HSV2, and I'm absolutely devastated. I did my best to educate myself about safe sex, like listening to IHU and my own research, and I made sure to purchase flavored condoms and dental dams to be safe during oral. When I had a long-term partner, I made sure to chat with them about our STI status and testing regularly and during casual sex. I tried my best to be safe. I also get tested 3 to 4 times a year. Given my efforts to be safe, I am absolutely shaken. Honestly, I'm in a state of shock and disbelief. I tried all that I could, and I know I shouldn't take my diagnosis personally, but I feel betrayed by the world. I'm really depressed. I barely have an appetite, and I can't look at myself in the mirror without crying. I know that there's a lot of stigma towards HSV2 and folks with HSV2 that is unjust and unwarranted, but I can't help but feel like I failed and that I'm gross. What's worse is that I have self-esteem and self-confidence issues and intimacy issues, and this diagnosis takes me several steps back from the progress I made with my therapist. I feel horrible and not like the bad bitch that I was starting to feel like. Do you have any tips on how to keep my head up and how to keep confident? I know it's not the end of the world, but I can't find the bright side right now. I don't know how to cope. I confided in my friends, went back and listened to the episode you all did with Rukia, which was an episode about living with HSV2, and talked to my therapist about my diagnosis, but I'm still not okay. If you have any advice, I would appreciate it. Thanks. All the best, Liz." First of all, thank you, Liz, for writing in. And I'm sorry you're feeling like this. This is a very sucky way to feel. For people who don't know what we're referring to, when Liz mentions the episode with Rukia, that episode is going to be in the show notes for this episode. One thing that resonated with me when you said shock and disbelief, I recently went across, like, we did the episode with Rukia, and, you know, statistics ebb and flow throughout my brain. But one thing that I recently saw on Instagram was like a refresher of the fact that so many people do have HSV2. Mm-hmm. And that just reminded me in regards to this situation that HSV2 is so common, and that not that your shock and disbelief is unwarranted, but being shocked that you get HSV2 is like being shocked that you get a cold or the flu. Like, if you have sex, chances are you're going to contract an STI at some point. Mm-hmm. So I just want to give you some statistics to make you feel a little bit better about that and the fact that like this is common. So 1 in 8 people actually have HSV2. And I think it's 70% of people who do have HSV2 don't even know that they have HSV2 because they're not symptomatic. Mm-hmm. Or they do have symptoms and they just mistake it for like a pimple or something like that, or a sore.
Or ingrown hair.
Yeah, that's another thing. So you didn't do anything wrong or bad because there's nothing wrong or bad about having sex. There's not even anything wrong or bad about having unsafe sex, quote unquote, or non-protected sex. Like, we're people. We fuck.
We gonna be fucking.
Yeah, that's just it. Even STIs themselves are not wrong or bad. They're just viruses doing whatever viruses do. Like, this is all just functions of biology that are happening. So the thing that is wrong and bad here is the stigma that is placed on HSV2 and people who have HSV2. And just to get into like the anti-capitalism bag, like this is something that I've heard floating around, and I don't know how many people with HSV2 feel about it, but I have heard people with HSV2 express this sentiment that, like, you know, herpes is not, it can, degrade your immune system and make you more susceptible to getting other infections. And so in that front, like, sure, that is a negative thing. But for all intents and purposes, there's nothing like really wrong with having herpes. And a lot of people posit that the reason why there is so much stigma associated with it is, one, sex is stigmatized and we live in a both sexual and anti-sex world, but also because like big pharma companies just wanted to shill their shit mm-hmm. at people to control outbreaks. So it's really not you. It's the society that you live in. And hopefully that helps you going forward.
I completely agree with Samantha. I was going to say that, well, one, give yourself time. You haven't given us a time frame of when you found out this diagnosis until now. And whether that was 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago, you've received information that you will be living with something chronic for the rest of your days. That is, no matter how much information you know, all the research pamphlets you've read, that's something that you're going to cope with and come to terms with on your own time. And that could be 2 years from now, 4 years from now, 6 years from now. You can get to a space where you feel like a bad bitch, have a outbreak, and then tumble backwards. Like, this is, it's not a linear progression. It's not something you just come to terms with and go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to be gentle with yourself. It sounds like there's a lot of hang up on being so proactive on protecting yourself and still contracting this STI anyway. And Samantha's right that, like, if you're having sex, you're going to contract an STI. Just as I can wash my hands and hand sanitize and wipe down everything with Lysol and still catch the flu. Mm-hmm. Get the flu vaccine and still catch the flu. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the function of the biology. Like Samantha said, like, that's just what happens. And I don't want you to be hung up on feeling like you failed yourself, because we can do all that we can, and the rest is left up to the environment. Mm-hmm. There's only so much that you can catch or protect yourself from. Mm-hmm. In terms of feeling gross, quote unquote, or, you know, having a hard time looking at yourself in the mirror, and I know that you may feel educated on this, but it might mean unpacking some internalized stigma. Just because you know something doesn't mean we believe it for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I compare it to like people's self-talk. Like, if you heard a friend putting themselves down, or you would never say something to a certain friend, but these are the same words we say to ourselves, you know, and we know it's not okay to talk like this, but it's still something we do. It's still something that we believe. So taking some time to really unpack that internalized stigma for yourself. And whether you do that in therapy or you do that by yourself, really look into that. I don't know how long you've talked to your therapist about this, whether it was one conversation, but it's going to be multiple conversations over mm-hmm. a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And we have to have that patience that this is something, especially considering that you mentioned having intimacy issues, having self-esteem issues, and feeling betrayed by the world, like you were working to overcome that. Those are underlying things that this and just sat on top of. Mm-hmm. And lastly, I would say find a support group.
Yeah.
You know, and I would want like a, I would suggest an in-person thing. I don't know why I'm so like community in person, but I don't, oh, you're in California. I'll say, I don't know where you live. You're in California, but you can find an in-person support group. You can find one online because of course there's everything online.
Mm-hmm.
But in-person support group for specifically herpes or people with chronic STIs or just people dealing with difficult diagnoses.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like a broader net to cast and you can have that community and get that support and really learn vicariously learn from other people coping and dealing with something day to day and really learn those skills firsthand.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. Yeah. I also had the all good points. I also had the same thought that finding a community of folks would help you in the situation. So here's a resource that we know of specifically regarding people combating stigma and difficult STI diagnoses. So like I said, a couple of weeks ago, we were guests on the Something Positive for Positive People podcast, which is a podcast hosted by Courtney Brom, who is positive with, I'm not sure if it's HSV 1 or 2, or perhaps both, but he is positive with that. And the whole point of the show is addressing these things and combating stigma within us and within other people. And I'm sure on various episodes, there are people with perhaps in-person support groups or other kinds of resources that might be beneficial to you. So I will link that in the show notes. And if I come across any additional resources between now and the time that I edit this, I will also put those in the show notes as well. And I'll email them to you.
Just know that an HSV diagnosis is definitely like not the end of your romantic life.
Mm-hmm.
As well. There are, trust me, plenty of people who do not give a fuck.
Yeah.
And also know that if you are with somebody who does really give that strongly of a fuck, then that's probably not a person that you need to be given any kind of fucking time of day to.
Mm-hmm.
I know that having STIs helps open your eyes to the people that you really decide to open up to. But that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
So to be careful about the people that you let around you, be careful about the people that you confide in. As we've said before, unless you ask for those tests, they don't give them to you. Unless you're actively showing symptoms, which is probably what happened. You had a symptom, you went in, they were like, oh, they did a swab and saw it. So that also has nothing to do with it because you can do everything in the world, but mm-hmm. you can't test for everything at once, unfortunately. But just know that there's a whole nother world out there and you're going to meet people who will not admit it. But they got that shit too.
Yeah.
And people who don't even know.
And people who don't know.
1 in 8.
Like, it's so common.
And
that's HSV2. HSV1 is even more common.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand, but I do hope that you can work through your experience and come out on the other side a more stronger and educated person.
Same. Yeah. I'm thinking of some resources right now that I'm going to include in the show notes. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. And if you're feeling frisky, you can also consider donating to our Patreon, patreon.com/innerhouseuprising, and our PayPal, paypal.me/innerhoe. And you can let everyone know, including us, that you love these hoes. We appreciate you all.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Innerhoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Innerhoe Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group at Innerhoe Uprising Community. You can head to innerhoeuprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, pay a hoe, or check out our merchandise.
And sign up for our sweepstakes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Get you a hoe bag.
You guys can follow me at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can follow me at Clint.Yeetwood on Instagram and Rob_God on Twitter.
You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter and Carmen San Diego on Instagram. Thank you. Bye.
Night makers.
Bye. Makers.